Searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me is night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Search me, search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Let's pray together. God, we are glad that we can gather and sing and read the scriptures and fellowship and really remind ourselves that even in our most darkest moments, in your presence, there's light. So we've come to tell the story to ourselves again, to hear it over and again, the way you have expressed your love and care to us, that while there was great darkness in the world, you sent Jesus for us. And so as we sing and we share and we celebrate and we reflect and we think about our own lives, we pray that in our going in a bit, we would honor you with faithfulness because of your love for us in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.
Gonna live. so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to come, thus saith the Lord. In Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. And I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more, and oh, for grace to trust Him
Cleansing, just ask you to listen to this this poem that I found. A small voice
in the dark, whispering to an open heart. My child, listen to me and the words to you I speak. My child, feed my sheep. Though I tried to ignore it, the voice wouldn't go away. My child, what are you waiting for? My child, feed my sheep. What do I have to give, I cried, to those who are hungry and lost, to those who stand in the dark? What can I feed your sheep, master, master, I did cry. What do I have to give, I asked, those who know sorrow and despair, those who know no hope or love, what can I feed your sheep, master, master, I ask you. Gather together within my fold, my sheep who are hungry and lost, my sheep who are standing in the dark. And with the bread of life I give, my child, feed my sheep. Hear my voice upon your heart. Listen closely to what I say. As I fed you with my words, and also with my love and grace, so shall you, my child, feed my sheep. We are grateful that our pastor Todd has taken that poem to heart for 20 years to listen to God and to feed us his sheep. And so, Todd, I would like to say that the rest of this service is for you. So, and you and your family and wonderful Patty. So, I know that you worked very hard on a sermon, but I have to tell you, not today, because we have people that would love to share some stories, and not only that, but to say that it doesn't end here. As soon as we get done, we have a big lunch celebration in the youth room that we get to celebrate again, Todd and Patty and their family hearing the call of God to come here and feed us, and we get to tell you thank you for a little bit. So with that, I'd like to have Mr. Glenn come on up.
Okay, I don't know why I get to go first, but I'm going to do it. Jay and I retired from the military in 1996, and we moved back here. And I don't know how come we started Snow Hill. I can't tell you at that time why we settled here. And, of course, these guys were a lot younger, and both of us had a lot more hair, I think. We liked the church. We liked the staff and what was going on, so we stayed here. And soon after that, Todd found out that we had been involved in missions, and we taught youth in Wyoming, and I was on the finance committee up there for about 10 years. So within a month, we were teaching a youth class. Mary was, I guess, right? And I got on the finance committee for another 10 years. The families were, I guess we just developed a relationship is all I can say. The kids were young, of course. We took the girls to the lake on a fishing trip, and I caught my biggest flathead, 54 pounds. One of my favorite pictures is that thing hanging on a scale down at Eufaula with Tommy and Kimberly standing there, and the fish is actually longer than Tommy. That was a few years ago. We spent a lot of time at Ashley's. You guys remember Ashley's? That was one of our favorite places. One, it was good food, and two, it was cheap. We'd go up there and, we'd order a hamburger and whatever, breakfast. Tommy'd order a three-course meal with a dessert. It wasn't so bad, except usually I was paying. And I'd tell Jay, get in the car, can you believe that kid can eat that much? I mean, I thought, wow. We spent a lot of time on the road just on little trips. And most of the conversations stayed in the car. It was things, okay, Pastor, what you want to say, I'm going to say, stays in the car. You need the time, and I need the time. So we solved a lot of the world. Well, we didn't solve them. We just debated them, I guess. Anyway, we love these guys. They're a good, good family, and we've been friends for a lot of years now, rather than just a pastor relationship with members. And Jay copped out on me. She's supposed to be here this morning. She don't like speaking, I guess because she always says I speak too much anyway. Anyway, 20 years, it seems, boy, that's something. Now, I also got the word through the grapevine that last week you made a comment from up here about tomatoes. He was going, I guess his goal, I don't know if it's his gardening goal or his goal is to grow a better tomato than me. Okay, so I thought, well, he was thinking probably a cherry tomato and taste. I got to tell you, cherry tomatoes and taste don't win ribbons at the World's Fair or anything else. So I have set a standard. I want to show it to him and you guys so you can be the judge in the future, okay? Would you hold this? These are just a few of Jay and I's tomatoes. We'll start off. This is a nice Jetstar.
How's it taste?
Great. Great. You can have it. This is a Brandywine tomato. If you've never grown it, this thing is a great tomato. And this is his mom. So when you attain this level, then you can talk about outgrowing me. I doubt you can get there, but anyway, we're going to have a nice meal, and we do love you guys.
I started coming to this church a little before me and mom are figuring it up. It was actually 26 years ago this month, and started coming to this church. My mom was pregnant with my sister, and came here, and then about, 6 years later, Todd and Patty came, and they brought these two ornery kiddos. They gave me all kinds of grief because we were close to the same age, and so Kimberly and I fought all the time, and Julie and Tommy hung out, and so, but it was really cool to see how you guys changed my life in a dramatic way. And, a lot of that has to do with you're just compassionate people. And I was an ornery kid. I know that's hard for some of y'all to believe. And I caused a little bit of trouble. And not a lot, just a little bit. And so I was, a typical 9-year-old little boy and causing a little bit of trouble. And I was actually in daycare at the time. And I was getting in fights and being a little ornery guy. And my parents realized, mostly my mom figured out that something's got to change. Otherwise, we're going to have a little hellion on our hands and he's going to get in a lot of trouble. And so from the story, hearing it from my mom, she came to Patty and asked if she would be interested in watching me and my sister after school and then during the summertime all day. And I'll be honest, I wasn't too thrilled when I found out about it because that meant it was me, the only, male type person, because Todd would be at work, and with Kimberly and Tommy and my sister and Patty. And that's a lot of females and myself. And I wasn't too thrilled about it as a 9-year-old boy, but it changed me that they were willing to welcome me into their family. And a lot of that has to do with Patty. And we hear a lot about Todd, and he's my mentor. He's my friend. He's like another dad to me, and I appreciate that. But Patty, you don't get a lot of praise. You don't get a lot of recognition. And in my opinion, and I know Todd would probably stand by this, you hold that family together. And I got to see that firsthand, being in your house for a couple years, causing all kinds of trouble. And as much as, she's supposed to love her own daughters, I'm actually her favorite. And and you don't forget that. But anyway, and so, there was a lot of times that I probably deserved worse, but you would put your arm around me, you let me throw a little fit, vent a little bit, and really care for me. And I will always remember those couple years of getting to be at y'all's house as being a very big changing point in my life. And I know for a lot of people, it's kind of like, well, you're only 9 or 10 years old. Well, that's a big part of my life because, to be quite honest with you, I don't really tell a lot of people this. It doesn't really come out. But it was being a part of your family that was a big part of me realizing, you know, I could do ministry and be a part and be in a church and knowing that it can work because I saw how it works with you guys. And that means a ton. And you will always be like parents to me. As much as that makes you feel old or whatever, I don't know. But the last 20 years have been great, and you guys have made it that way as a team, as a family. Your daughters are like sisters to me. Your grandkids are like nephews to me. And, you know, I can't imagine the last 20 years without you two and your family being a part. And so I want to say thank you. From a personal standpoint, because my life has been greatly impacted, and I can't imagine. I thought it was a dream come true to be able to come back here and get to work alongside you, Todd, and get to be a part of what we do here. And because Snow Hill's home, and it'll always be home. And you guys were a huge part in making that home. And I thank you. I know our church completely thanks you. And don't forget, you may be the pastor, but I have seniority over you. With that said, your daughters have a song that they want to sing for you guys. And
wish upon you peace. I wish upon you grace. I wish for less of what you want and more of what you need. Wish upon you in all life with a heart that stays young. But most of all, I wish upon you love. I wish upon you truth when all you feel is doubt. I hope you know that an open mind still knows when to shut things down. I wish upon you a brave heart that will always rise above. But most of all, I wish upon you love. As the sun sets, where the moon begins to rise, and even in the darkness you'll find the light. Upon you hard times, I hope you know that both joy and pain each need their moment to shine. I wish you ears that are quick to listen, that you'll slow use that tongue. But most of all, I wish upon you. Darkness, you'll find the light. You'll find the light.
We didn't want to make the service very long because we wanted to continue this service at lunch. And so the last thing that that I would like to share is, you know, I know some of you here had your notes ready to start taking notes from Todd. So I've got a few things here that you might be able to take notes on. But no, this, it has been, I don't even know how long it's been, 11, 12, 13 years, something like that. And, you know, Todd always gets the opportunity to come out when it's our anniversary or whatever and share that it's, you know, our relationship is not just a staff relationship, but a friend relationship. And I get the opportunity to just echo that today, that there is times that, you know, it's always nice when you have those friends where, if anyone knows me, they always, you know, one of the things that Todd has nicknamed me from the get-go is Smiley. And so you can always, you know, that's one of the things we always try to have a smile on my face. And even when I have a smile on my face, but I know sometimes you just think, there's one dude that can know that I'm just putting on the smile, and that's Todd. And he's always glad. But here are some things that I have come to know Todd, and some of the things that I have treasured in my own life and keep notes to myself of things that I have learned from you, Todd, in this. And I would say, you know, one thing Rusty mentioned earlier with Brother Mike here, we're glad to have him, said, you know, sometimes God calls us together and serves in churches together, then sometimes God separates us. And, you know, my prayer is, I'm sorry, God, if you're calling to separate us, because wherever he goes, I'm going with him. So, but here are some things that I feel that not only has God used Todd to teach me, but to teach a lot of us here. One is, success is not determined by the amount of people, but by the difference being made in the people that are here. It's okay to question the norm. And even though it's probably frowned upon by a lot of people in our area, God does not frown upon that. It's okay to doubt. God is big enough to handle our doubts. You can't do the same thing over and over and expect different results. You're never too old to learn. One thing is I think all of us, Todd is, you know, for sure for me, the smartest man that I know, but you never see him not reading something. You're never just called to serve those in the church that you've been called to, but you're called to serve those in the community that your church is in. We have all seen Todd in different areas, in basketball games, in city councils, in all of this. But something that is even a little more to that is I couldn't tell you how many times that I've seen people from different churches come here to get some counseling from Todd, because they know that he's not here just for us, but he's here for the community. No matter what you do in life, family comes first. No exceptions. There's more to, we just talked about this in Sunday school, there's more to being a Christian than just walking down an aisle and saying a prayer. You can be a pastor and still be normal. Being a faithful pastor has little to do with the sermon on Sunday morning. You cannot be faithful to the things the Lord is leading you in if you're lazy. Faithfulness requires effort and hard work. And the last, as we talk about success and how that's always a word, faithful to God and the same group of people for so long is most definitely a picture of success for the kingdom. And that is where we're at, that the kingdom has been thoroughly successful through the Spirit leading you to, and we're so thankful.